Turning your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. I want you to see a statement that's made in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. And let's look at it and understand it. See how the Lord would apply it in our lives. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, so Joshua's getting ready to die. They've already now divided up the land for inheritance. He's given them instruction about getting rid of the rest of the people that are still there that have not yet been dealt with. And these are his last words. Now therefore, fear the Lord and, here it is, serve him in sincerity and in truth. That statement, serve him in sincerity and in truth. He didn't say serve him just in sincerity. And he didn't say serve him just in truth. He said, I want you to serve him in the combination of sincerity and truth. You know what truth is, and we have it, it's published for us, it's in the book, it's in your hand. Sincerity is honesty of mind. It's freedom from hypocrisy. Sincere means without deceit, without pretense, which would be a false profession. Free of a word we actually see in the Bible, dissimulation, where you pretend to be one thing at one time and then in another set of circumstances pretend to be something else. In other words, being genuine, that's sincerity. So I want you to, he says, to serve the Lord in truth. Well, he's given us guidance on that because we have his words, and in sincerity, that is free from hypocrisy or free from dissimulation. The trouble with Israel at this time when he gave them this command is simply this. They had been influenced by their fathers to worship strange gods. Continue now looking in verse 14. He says, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Well, the father served on the other side of the flood is up there in verse 2 of the same chapter. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So he's talking about way back there when Abraham was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to God. They were serving strange gods back in those days. And he said, and the trouble with Israel is they still had an affinity to worship those gods. Okay? Put away those strange gods. And also he says here in verse 14, not only the ones that your father served on the other side of the flood, but also in Egypt. So in all those years that Israel was in Egypt, they had gotten used to worshiping the gods of the Egyptians. So he says, now you're here and you're in your own land, you're in Canaan, you're in where God promised you, and I want you to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. In truth, because he's giving you the words by which he wants you to serve him. But you got to get away from those strange gods. You can't have some of that and some of him. Okay? Now, you're right. Remember, those strange gods back there from Terah and all that family. Remember when they would go over there to get wives back from the people there? Remember? Jacob went over there, and there's Rachel and Leah, and that those are with Laban. Remember all that? Okay. What did Rachel do when they left? She stole some gods. That stuff was still around there, and they even brought it with them when the 12 boys came back with their father. So they've had this problem with strange gods going on a long time. Now, there's no way that they could serve the Lord in sincerity while they were still hanging on to those strange gods. Do you understand that? Because you're going to do some of this and some of that. Look in this discourse at verse 18 when he's explaining to them the problem about serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. The Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we, this is what the people are saying in verse 18. Therefore will we, what's the next word? Did you say also? That's the next word. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Why didn't they just say, therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God? They said also because they were serving those gods and they were going to serve him. That's what they're saying. Therefore we'll also serve him. And Joshua said unto the people in verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's an holy God. He is a jealous God. In other words, if you're going to serve him in sincerity, it's one or the other. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, and that's what they would do, right? You're not going to, if you're trying to serve two, you're going to forsake one and you're going to serve the other. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Like, forget it. Forget about it, they say up north. It's not going to be a problem. Joshua said unto the people, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. He knew they had them, which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. The people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. They didn't say anything about we will put away the strange gods. You see it? Then that was the problem. Now, the people insisted that they were going to serve the Lord, and then Joshua insisted that you're not unless you get rid of those strange gods. That's a problem. That's what the sincerity part is about. You can keep all that truth, but if you've got something else that you serve in addition to trying to serve the Lord, you're not going to be able to serve him in sincerity. Now, the Pharisees attempted this that you're just reading about here, and it didn't work. When the Pharisees tried this, they ended up changing the truth into tradition, right? And they ended up changing the sincerity into hypocrisy. Do you remember that? Just quickly, keep your finger where you are. Go to Matthew chapter 15. You should see it for yourself. I mean, these guys, the Pharisees, are the religious leaders in Israel during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the descendants eventually of the people that Joshua was speaking to in Joshua chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees asked Jesus Christ in verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Do you understand you're going to serve one or the other? They no longer followed, it's served in truth, which was the commandment. Now they served in tradition. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and they say, when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, that is equal to the Scripture. But when you talk to a Catholic, they'll tell you what the Pope said, but they can't tell you what the Scripture said. And that's what happens every time. And that's what happened to the Pharisees. And then as he's going on here, he says to them in verse 7, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. You see that? That's the same thing that was going on in Joshua 24. But their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They didn't worship. They didn't serve in sincerity and in truth. They served fake, hypocritically, and the sincerity turned to hypocrisy, and the truth to tradition. All right, Muslims appear to be sincere with their zeal, right? And with their attendance to prayer 5 times a day. But people who are on mission fields that live and work among them, testify that adultery and wife beating are very common. Okay? And I'm not trying to tattletale on them. I'm trying to tell you, when you don't serve God in sincerity and truth, you pretend, but you don't do. Okay? Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses may be very sincere. Maybe. Right? Not all of them are. But you see some and you're like, wow, that looks like somebody that's very sincere. But you know what they're not doing? They're not serving the Lord in truth. They have their own books. The New World Translation or the Book of Mormon, that becomes their authority. And they're no longer serving in truth. He said, you got to do both, in sincerity and in truth. It doesn't make a difference how sincere you are. People are like, what about the people all around the world that are so sincere about their religion? If it's not in truth, nothing. Okay, well, what about us? Because it's not doing us any good to comment on them. What about us? We profess to be and are Bible-believing Christians. So you would say that we're serving the Lord in truth. That matters to us, does it not? We search the Scripture to find doctrine and to make sure that we understand the doctrine, and then we preach according to that doctrine to obey that doctrine. But are we serving the Lord in sincerity? I mean, I can't answer that question for you. That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Okay, I'll acknowledge for us, just for the sake of making the point on sincerity, I would acknowledge that here you're serving the Lord in truth. But what about in sincerity? He said you need both. Because if you don't, you know what happens? The same thing that happened to the Pharisees and the same thing that happened to Israel. Listen, we know the truth. We believe the truth. We don't worship a prophet. They do in Muslim. They do in Mormon. We don't worship a society. They do in Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower Society. We don't worship a pope. You know, I've heard people cuss God, but I've never heard them cuss their pope. We don't worship a goddess. All right? We don't worship a strange god. We serve the Lord in truth, but we must also serve Him in sincerity. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. I want you to see the importance of what we're hearing tonight from the Scripture. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul had to deal with a problem concerning Peter and some of the other saved Jews when they came to Antioch. Now, do you understand? Peter, at this point in his ministry, he's got this truth thing down. He was having trouble with Scripture that Jesus Christ was quoting, right, during the earthly ministry. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And Peter said, not me. He was having trouble with that truth back then. But man, after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter wasn't having trouble with that truth. He's quoting that truth from various places in the Old Testament and making great application. So Peter's on, he's got that truth thing. But look at verse 11 of Galatians chapter 2. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now Antioch, as you know, the church had started out in Jerusalem, but it moved up after persecution up into Antioch. That's where Paul and Barnabas started their first missionary journey. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So James, who was leading the congregation there in Jerusalem, had sent some Jews out of Jerusalem up to Antioch to see what was going on with all these Gentiles getting saved. Before they came, Peter ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled. That's that word, dissimulation. Dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Oh, he got him. But you know what happened? although they understood the truth of the gospel, when they were concerned that that word would get back to Jerusalem, that they were eating with Gentiles and thought it would look bad on their record, they faked it. That was, they were not at that point serving God in sincerity. They were dissimulating. They were being hypocrites. You see it? And these were good guys. Peter's a good guy now. No more denying Jesus Christ. No more falling in the water. Miracles are happening. He's got so much power of God on him. When he's walking and doing the ministry, they're laying people in the in his shadow, hoping that they'll get healed. Right? If a guy like that can get caught up in the simulation, we can. We have to check ourselves. We have to, okay, what's going on here? So you know the truth. You believe the truth. But if you serve the Lord here, and then out there you're serving something else or someone else, then you aren't serving the Lord in sincerity. Do you see it? Let me just give you a couple of examples. I think there's a broad spectrum here where we could get off serving the Lord in sincerity. But let's just look at a couple of examples so you get an idea how important it is to not only serve the Lord in truth, but also in sincerity. Ephesians is the next book. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter, the second one. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at that one first. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 5. Servants. Now watch the wording of what you're reading here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. For with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I'm going to ask you a question. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, what are servants commanded to do toward their masters? Huh? Obey them. Who are we to serve in the passage? Christ. Do you see it? Obey the master, but servants, verse 6, of Christ. Do you understand that when we're here, we're serving Christ? When we leave here and we have jobs, we're serving Christ. Right? But we make money in those jobs and we do those jobs according to Ephesians 4:28, which is what I was going to show you, so that we have enough money to be able to pay all the bills, eat, pay, everything else, and have to give to others also, Ephesians 4:28 says. But if we serve money out there and the Lord in here, we're not serving Him, help me, in sincerity. In sincerity. And what did Jesus Christ say in Matthew chapter 6 about that? Wait, if you don't know, let's go there real quick. Keep your finger in Ephesians because we're going to come right back. I'll show you one more. Matthew chapter 6. What did he say? So we're serving. We're not serving men, so it's not with eye service as men. We're obeying, but we're serving Christ. Higher. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. That's what happened to Israel. They went after those strange gods and they forsook the Lord. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he told Israel, you cannot serve the Lord and those strange gods. Can't do it. Right? So back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, you were very close to that when you're in 6. He says, a covetous man is an idolater. You know what that is? That's a false god. Covetousness is idolatry. So I'm just giving you two simple examples. When we're serving, we always are serving Christ in sincerity, though we are obeying an employer. And don't you know that if you're serving Christ in that capacity, you're going to, and you're serving Him in truth, you're going to be the best employee they have on the payroll. For sure. And Christ is honored by that. But if it's serving that and not the Lord, people get tied up on this. As an example, they start getting going on things, and the next thing you know, just an example, I can't come to church because I have to do this. Well, you know, we had to work along this hours, and I have these chores I have to do, so I can't be there. Is that what Christ said, or is that what you said as a result of the decisions you made, right, in the employment? And I'm not saying that anybody here is guilty of it. You know people who make decisions that way. I can't be there. I've got to do this. They're making the decisions. God's not making the decisions. They're serving themselves. They're not serving Christ. And what that begins to do is it affects, if we can't serve Him in sincerity and in truth, then starts the dissimulation. I remember one time when I was in Bible college. Every Saturday at 3 o'clock during a certain season of the year, we all had to go street preaching. It was part of our training. And one of the guys didn't go. He made some decision, and I think his excuse was lame. And I used to call this guy Deputy Dog. Anybody remember that guy? And he used to, okay, all right. He was sitting about where you are, Vincent. And one of the guys who made it and noticed that he hadn't made it on Sunday had come up behind him, and I was sitting about right over here where the Marquez are, but this conversation was getting on pretty loud. And he said, so where were you in street preaching yesterday? When the song service started, he was singing louder than the rest of the church. You know what that was about? To prove to everybody else he was still in good with the Lord. That's dissimulation. That's not sincerity. If you're supposed to be there at 3, you be there at 3 because that's what Christ, you see? Then you don't have to pretend to be much better on Sunday than everybody else in the church to make it look like you didn't make that decision yourself, but Christ led you to make that decision. I realize these are trite little illustrations, but they point out the true importance of what Joshua was saying to Israel. Is the same thing he could say to us. When you serve Him not only in truth, but in sincerity and truth. That's what keeps us out of trouble. That's what keeps us in the right relationship with the Lord God. Many Christians today are trying to serve Him and something else at the same time. It never works. Never works. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for showing us something in Joshua in a little piece of a text and give us illustration to understand how important it is to not only serve you in truth, but also in sincerity. Help us to do it. We don't want to pretend anything with you. We want to be in a right relationship with you. And we ask you to help us to do it for Jesus' sake. Amen.